Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from an article entitled 30 Amazing Facts About Opera. A couple of true-false questions about opera for today's musical trivia questions, then. Question number one, which one of the following is true? Is it A, the Can Can song was originally composed for an opera as a soundtrack to a man descending into hell? Or was it B, after a terrible performance at the White House from an opera singer, President Coolidge was asked, "What do you think of the singer's execution?" Coolidge replied, "I'm all for it." Or was it C, Johann Sebastian Bach wrote a mini-opera about coffee addiction? Or is it D, all the above are true? And for our false question, question number two, which one of the following is false? Is it A, the term "It Ain't Over Till the Fat Lady Sings" originally references the conclusion of an epic four-part opera in which the fat lady, Brunhilde, sings for about 20 minutes, signaling the end of the nearly 16-hour saga? Or was it B, the march "Here Comes the Bride" is from an opera where the marriage is almost an immediate failure, and the piece is sung just before several wedding guests are murdered? Or is it C, "O Solo Mio" is a song featured in the opera The Barber of Seville? Or is it D, all the above are false? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of June 21. Well, it was on this day, back in 1732, that composer Johann Christoph Friedrich Bach was born. He was one of four sons of Johann Sebastian Bach, who attained renown in classical music. He was an outstanding virtuoso of the keyboard, with a reasonably wide repertory of surviving works, including 20 symphonies, the later ones influenced by Haydn and Mozart. 1732, today, his birthday. And it was 71 years ago today, 1948, that Columbia Records began the first mass production of the 33 and a third RPM LP. The LP, from long playing, is an analog sound storage medium, a vinyl record format characterized by a speed of 33 and a third revolutions per minute. It was soon adopted as the new standard for the entire record industry. Apart from a few relatively minor refinements and the important later addition of stereophonic sound, it has remained the standard format for vinyl albums. That was back in 1948, today. Country music news, we have this album review by Thomas Rhett, R-H-E-T-T. The name of the album? Center Point Road. It's given 3 out of a possible 4 stars and published in The Week magazine, June 14th, 2019. The more Thomas Rhett tests the boundaries of country music, the more the singer finds himself at the very center of commercial country, said Jonathan Bernstein in Rolling Stone. Having already scored a staggering dozen number one country hits with his first 3 albums, the honey-smooth Tennessee crooner is again playing a pop-curious jack-of-all-trades, proving he can be just as effective at R&B light as he was with honky-tonk nostalgia. Centerpoint Road takes its name from a street in Rhett's hometown and catches Rhett, now 29, in a wistful frame of mind, said Glenn Giamboa in Newsday. In the synth-up title track, Kelsea Ballerina joins him to reminisce about teenage escapades. His current hit, Look What God Gave Me, an ode to his childhood sweetheart-turned-wife, evokes breezy 70s pop. Though Rhett isn't about to win a crossover to pure pop stardom, you've got to hand it to him. All these risks pay off, more or less. They're sure to keep him atop the country charts. And in classical music news, we have this article. Stop obsessing over young listeners. They'll come to classical music in their own sweet time, says Radio 3 presenter. This was published in The Telegraph by Hannah Furness, June 16, 2019. Susie Klein, who presents the Essential Classics morning show, said she gets vaguely annoyed at the focus on luring young people to the genre, saying it is fine for people to enjoy different things at different stages of life. Fortunately, she said, I think people come to it in their own sweet time. I get vaguely annoyed about this constant focus with everything being about youth. I think there are things you do at different stages of your life, and for a lot of people, classical music is later in their life, and I think that's fine. The BBC is among numerous arts organizations attempting to make its classical output accessible for the young, with a series of initiatives including 10 Pieces for Children, podcasts, and Radio 3's youngest presenter, 20-year-old Jess Gillum. I have a real beef with this, she said. It annoys me that people think they don't like classical music. It took me years and years of trying stuff out. It's a bit like wine boars or anyone who's in a sort of little group. There's a whole load of people who love classical music, who think it's for them, who are real gatekeepers, and I get annoyed by that. It's absolute rubbish. It's just great stuff, and there's a reason it's been around for hundreds of years, and it's because it's brilliant. The broadcaster also spoke about the growing popularity of Radio 3, asked whether it should consider airing an hour of classical bangers each morning for an easy introduction to the genre. I think if you listen to Radio 3, you'll find that's what we're doing, she said. Not only that, but we've poached a significant number of listeners from the Today program who are sick of people barking at each other. And in Jazz Music News, Dave Brubeck's Take Five. Besides having a universal appeal, jazz also stands out for its health benefits. And this is introduced in the article by Steve Gutierrez, published in steppinginit.com on the 16th of June, 2017. Why should you enjoy jazz music? Jazz is undoubtedly the most stimulating music genre, according to science. Scientific studies have found jazz music to have one of the most significant effects on mood, activity, and energy levels of all music genres. Jazz music has cool tones, innovative riffs, as well as complex rhythms, which have been proven to bring natural relief to the mind and body. Listening to upbeat music like jazz has a significant positive effect on the type of brainwaves a person produces. Research studies show that jazz music results in the production of theta brainwaves ranging from 4 to 8 hertz. Theta brainwaves are the most creative. The waves are responsible for offering new insights and solutions. This explains why jazz music is so stimulating and relaxing at the same time. The music is great when you want to focus, raise your heart rate, and get motivated. Jazz music is also great for reducing fatigue. The stimulating and relaxing effect of jazz music offers significant stress-relieving benefits. Considering most health problems are caused by stress, listening to jazz music has a profound effect on your health. In fact, jazz music has been incorporated in many treatment programs today. For instance, the music is used to help stroke patients improve their focus, mood, as well as verbal memory. Jazz is also an effective pain reliever. For instance, listening to jazz has been proven to reduce the time as well as the intensity of migraine headaches. The relaxing effect of jazz music can also help to lower blood pressure, reducing death risk from stroke and heart disease, among other blood pressure-related diseases. So in summary, you don't need any more reasons to start enjoying jazz music today. When you want some inspiration, jazz music will boost your creativity. The music will also stimulate and relax you. There's no better music for reducing stress and the health problems that come from stress. Jazz is also fun. Hey, and who knows? Perhaps even it would be good listening for students taking improv classes. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, Your Brain's Best Day. Make your next 24 hours happy, healthy, and smart with these simple brain power tricks. This is published in AARP Bulletin, June 2019 issue, by Christy Ulrich Barkas. When educator and writer EMK turned 70, she decided to enter the USA Memory Championship, becoming the oldest contestant ever to compete. I didn't win, but I didn't come in last either. I achieved my goal, she says. To make her mark in what is traditionally a young person's competition, all winners, by the way, have been in their 20s to 40s, Kay trained for a year. She ate brain-healthy food, walked as much as she could, got more sleep, had more face-to-face conversations, avoided social media, and learned something new each day. She even hired a juggling coach. Our brain is amazing, Kay says. It's like a series of roads. When you connect two neurons, you're building a road. And the little synapse is like a bridge over the road. You have to have lots of them, because if something happens to one of the roads, you need a lot of detours available to get where you need to go. Researchers have confirmed that lifestyle changes like those Kay took on can make a significant difference in the life of your brain. We searched the literature and consulted with experts to map out the next 24 hours and turn them into an ideal healthy day for your brain. Once again, published in AARP Bulletin, it's broken down by morning, afternoon, and night. For the morning, eat a bowl of steel oatmeal with blueberries and nuts, and sleeping regularly 7 to 8 hours a night may help cognition. Pour yourself a cup of coffee. That's been proven to be good, too. Brush your teeth and floss, which is also good. Take a brisk walk outdoors. And then for the afternoon, make someone laugh or play a game or share a story. Or meet a friend and discuss books, film, or culture. And take a drive without using your GPS. It's better for your brain. Have bean soup at lunch. Use your phone to call someone and use social media less. And significantly for this program, pick up a musical instrument. Using MRIs, Gottfried Schlaug, associate professor of neurology at Harvard Medical School, found an age-decelerating effect in the brains of people who consistently made music. Just listening to music may not be enough. Actively engaging with music or music-making activities, such as singing with others or alone, is where the real benefit comes from, Schlaug says. And then at nighttime, you know, enjoy for dinner a nice piece of fish. That's good for you. And take dance lessons. That's also good for you. And shut down the electronics. And finally, turn down the thermostat and go to sleep. The background research for each of those recommendations, by the way, is shared in that article in AARP Bulletin, June 2019 issue. Feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby. I could use just a little bit. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing. Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark introduces our rock and pop music news. It's actually a review of Bruce Springsteen's latest album, entitled Western Stars. This is published in People magazine on the 24th of June, 2019 edition, in rock. The Boss's 19th studio LP is the most rustic of his career, pulsing with the frontier's dual forces of boundless promise and daunting uncertainty. Plaintive steel guitars and swelling strings complement his weathered voice on world-weary tunes like Drive Fast, The Stuntman, and the arresting title track. All told, this is the most compelling work in nearly two decades. That came out on June the 14th. There's a joke, yes, I'm whining, it's on me. I shake this world off my shoulders. Come on, baby, the laugh's on me. Stay in the streets of this town. Make you hear a symphony, and you just want the world to see. But like a drug that makes you blind. Trouble with loving, it can tear you up inside, make your heart believe a lie. It's stronger than your pride. Kelly Clarkson's The Trouble with Love Is introduces our local music news. It's an article published in the News and Observer on the 16th of June, 2019. It's entitled, A Raleigh Boy Rises on the Strings of His Violin, written by the NNO Editorial Board. The violin can evoke great sadness, but in the hands of 11-year-old Tyler Butler Figueroa, it turned sorrow into joy. The young Raleigh musician took up the violin after seeing a flyer at school offering free music lessons through the nonprofit program Kids Notes. It was a diversion he badly needed. At age 4, he was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia and also endured the pain inflicted by some schoolmates who made fun of how he had lost his hair during 3 years of chemotherapy. Tyler poured his feelings into his instrument, and after much practice, out came notes of resilience and eventually soaring triumph. Playing on the streets of Raleigh, his violin case open for donations, and his mother looking on, he raised money to go to Charlotte to audition for the NBC show, America's Got Talent. Those donations, his talent, and his story got Tyler to that audition. As he played Kelly Clarkson's song, Stronger, What Doesn't Kill You, before judges in an audience, the once sick and bullied boy won applause, hearts, and a golden buzzer, pass straight to the live shows. One of the judges, Juliana Huff, told Tyler, I just wanted to commend you for taking something that is probably one of the hardest things that you'll ever have to go through and turning it around and finding something that brings you joy. In October 2018, as he bussed for lunchtime crowds in downtown Raleigh, Tyler told the NNO why he plays. I like playing the violin. It inspires me to play music for other children with the same story as me, said Tyler, a student at Walnut Creek Elementary School. I'm proud to be here street performing, and I want to show other kids they can do what their heart tells them to do. What drives Tyler points to the larger meaning of his success. His story is not just one boy's story. It is the story of how many children facing difficult circumstances can blossom, if given the chance. This is the idea behind Kids Notes, the program that handed Tyler the violin that carried him to a stage where appreciation, affection, and gold confetti rained on him. Kid Notes was launched in Durham in 2007 by Katie Wyatt and Lucia Powell. It's based on El Sistema, a program that makes musicians of low-income children. El Sistema originated in Venezuela and has spread to other countries, including the United States. Kids Notes says teaching children from low-income families how to play an instrument and be part of a symphony can help children who often enter school already academically behind children from more affluent families. The $1.3 million program, largely supported by individual donations and support from foundations, provides instruments and 400 hours of music instruction for free. It currently serves 304 children in Durham County, 197 in Wake County, and 30 in Orange County. The program offers a powerful reminder that helping disadvantaged children learn and succeed does not require abandoning public schools in favor of vouchers for private schools or special charter schools. But presenting the opportunity is only the start. The child must take it up. Tyler did. Nick Malinowski, executive director of Kids Notes, where Tyler started at age 7, said Tyler has a natural ear for music and already arranges his own. But most important was his willingness to put in many hours of practice, Malinowski said. He's an incredible hard worker. Now that work has lifted him from a sidewalk stage in Raleigh to national TV, where he plays a joyful song. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which one of the following is true? Is it A, the Can-Can song was originally composed for an opera as a soundtrack to a man descending into hell? Well, that is in fact true. Was it B, after a terrible performance at the White House from an opera singer, President Coolidge was asked, "What do you think of the singer's execution?" And Coolidge replied, "I'm all for it." That's also true. Was it C, Johann Sebastian Bach wrote a mini-opera about coffee addiction? Well, that's true also. So answer D, all of the above are true, is in fact the correct answer to our first musical trivia question. And the answer to our second question, which of the following is false? Is it A, the term "It Ain't Over Till the Fat Lady Sings" originally references the conclusion of an epic four-part opera in which the fat lady, Brunhilde, sings for about 20 minutes, signaling the end of the nearly 16-hour saga? Actually, this one is true. Richard Wagner made Brunhilde a powerful Germanic figure in his Der Ring des Nibelungen. And B, the march "Here Comes the Bride" is from an opera where the marriage is almost an immediate failure, and the piece is sung just before several wedding guests are murdered. Well, that one is also true. This 1850 song is another one from Wagner. Or was it C, "O Solo Mio" is a song featured in the opera "The Barber of Seville"? Well, answer C is the only one of these answers that is false. "O Solo Mio" is not a song featured in the opera "The Barber of Seville." "O Solo Mio" is an Italian song written almost 100 years after the Spanish Rossini opera "The Barber of Seville." As noted in ClassicFM.com, "O Solo Mio," which translates as "My Sunshine," is a song whose melody you'd probably know better than its lyrics. Written by Giovanni Capurro, its Neapolitan lyrics portray the beauty of a sunny day, creating an enviable picture of southern Italy in the sunshine. But the melody is known and understood worldwide. The song was performed by Enrico Caruso, among others. Luciano Pavarotti won a Grammy Award for Best Classical Vocal Performance for his rendition of "O Solo Mio" in 1980. But the song found fame among a wider audience in the UK and US when Elvis Presley used the melody to create his worldwide hit, "It's Now or Never." So let's close out today's program to the opera, which does not include the song "O Solo Mio," "The Barber of Seville" by Rossini. Here, then, is part of the overture to that opera. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Give me a call, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.